If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Time to check in with Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Good morning, Karen. This would be a good time to go over what people need to know who are dealing with storm damage. And why don't we start with homeowners insurance? And what advice do you have for people here?
Well, first of all, know what's covered. And generally speaking, damage to the exterior of your house due to the storm, like roofs and siding and broken glass, dents, all of those things should be covered by your homeowner's insurance. Even when the power surges and it damages your appliances, that too should be covered. And trees falling, the damage caused is covered, but the trees themselves and the damage and the removal of trees is not covered. And water that rises under your house is generally not covered unless you have flood insurance, sewer backups, those types of things. So you got to really look at your policy and try to understand it. And then the first thing you would do is obviously take photos and take videos and document every single thing in detail. If you have receipts of what you paid for things that were broken, pull those things out and put them together. Obviously, you're going to cover things up so that there's not further damage to the property. And then you're going to call your insurance carrier immediately before you make any substantive repairs. Make, you know, really good notes who you speak with. I would send emails in addition to calling and make sure you know exactly who you're dealing with and when they're going to pay out for you, because you've got to push those insurance companies.
Yeah, we're always told if your claim is denied, you can appeal. But what are the chances of success there?
Well, if you're persistent, you might be able to succeed. And I think documentation is everything, and knowing what your rights are. And usually it's not worth it to hire a lawyer, because the damage generally doesn't warrant a big lawsuit. But, you know, you can complain to the Department of Insurance. It probably won't do anything. But I think being persistent, being professional, being friendly, being, you know, just pushing the issue politely is the way to go.
And is the number one tip about dealing with contractors who you may be hiring to do some repairs, get it in writing?
Absolutely. I would get those three estimates. And if someone comes to your door unsolicited, that is not the person you want, because I know about these scams. These people go from state to state. They change their driver's license plates, and they just take your money and they never show up. So, you know, get those estimates. Look at the Better Business Bureau. Don't give the money up front. Make sure you have periodic payments of the cost. And definitely talk to your insurer before you hire the contractor to make sure it's going to be covered.
Let's talk about the Idaho college murderer, Brian Koberger, who has filed what's called an ineffective lawyer appeal. What is his argument, Karen?
Yeah, these are routinely made and hardly ever won. And he's saying basically that he was coerced into his plea bargain, which is ridiculous. He's saying that he was coerced. He wasn't told what the conditions were going to be in prison, and on and on. And these are routine, as I say, but, you know, he's got to prove not only that the lawyer was so substandard, not just strategic mistakes, but substantive mistakes that she made that would have changed the outcome of the case. And this is just completely ridiculous, because the judge basically said to him, you know, do you agree that you are, you know, pleading to this voluntarily, that, you know, that you understand that you're not under duress and you understand the ramifications? And he said yes, and he's a PhD student. Hmm. And his lawyer was excellent. So I don't think anyone should worry that there's going to be a new trial. He's going to lose this one.
Here in Illinois, there's a new law, and it's Scott's Law. Remind us what this is exactly.
Yes. Yeah, it's fairly new. And what Pritzker did was he signed a bill now that says that the penalties are more severe. You have to move over to a lane, an adjacent lane, when you are approaching an emergency vehicle, first responder, someone, tow truck, and even a pedestrian who may be helping out in an accident scene. You've got to move over. If you can't move over safely, then you need to drastically reduce your speed. speed well below the posted speed limit. If you don't do that, you can have penalties up to $10,000. And now this new law says that you can actually have your driver's license suspended or permanently revoked if there are injuries or death resulting from your failure to do this. So it's a very serious law with very serious penalties and very important for safety of everyone.
So if there's an emergency vehicle behind you, this also applies to be moving over to the right to allow that vehicle to pass?
That's not exactly in the law, but that's always a good thing to do. I think this law is basically any kind of emergency, any kind of flashing light, any kind of roadside problem, you have a duty to either slow down or move over. So that would be the safest thing to do.
And finally, let's talk about what's going on here with Mexico launching legal action in the United States over the deaths of Mexican nationals. How can a foreign country hold the United States responsible? Can they?
I think it's going to be hard for them to do it. And it's just very complicated because you've got a country who's basically saying 17 of our nationals died in ICE lockup. What are you guys doing about it? So they're filing a complaint with the DOJ, basically saying that they want prosecution of whoever is involved. Well, that's going nowhere because the DOJ is obviously being controlled by our country, which is not going to do anything about that. The complaints are going before state prosecutors. That might get some traction and bringing some charges. Also, there's a civil action that they're bringing against the detention centers, particularly the one in California, where at least four of them died. And then they're, of course, going to the UN. And the UN doesn't really have a good, effective enforcement mechanism. So I think a lot of this is going to be diplomatic attention rather than actual legal ramifications.
To be continued here on the radio with Karen Conti, Sunday afternoon, 3 until 5. As always, we appreciate it. Thanks, Karen.
Have a good one, Bob.
You too.